welcome to the New Beginnings message of the week. We hope you enjoy this message from our Sunday service. For more information about our church, please visit us online at newbeginningscos.com.
It's so funny that we do New Year's resolutions and talk about things like diets and plans, and we really do, both intentionally, and I believe there's something in the spirit of a turning point when the year shifts. And I believe that God takes us through seasons, and we have an opportunity to enter into those seasons in a powerful way. And so I want to share with you guys one of my kind of life habits that the Lord has brought me into of fasting, and how God has really used that to break into the new year with a whole new vision, focus, preparation, just spiritual equipping that has been so powerful and profound for me. So I want to start just by looking at Luke 4. Luke 4, so after Jesus' baptism, the next thing that happens before he fully launches into his ministry is that it says he was drawn into the desert. Luke 4, verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, 'If you're the Son of God, command the stone to become bread.'" And we know about the temptations that Jesus faced. One thing that I found was interesting was it actually says that when he was drawn into the desert, it says he was tempted by the devil, but then the temptations that we're familiar with that are written in Scripture actually don't come until the fast was over. It was the last day. It's interesting to me that we sometimes we think, oh, the devil just did these three things. Well, actually, no, there was more that he was experiencing in this time of fasting. But what's interesting is he walked into that time of fasting, it says, filled with the Holy Spirit. But Luke 4, verse 14, it says, "Then Jesus returned." So he comes out of the fasting. It says he returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And news of him went out through all the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So Jesus went into the place of the desert filled with the Holy Spirit. But he came out of the place of the desert with the power of the Spirit. There is something impactful and powerful about fasting. And I think many of us have different journeys with fasting. So I want to really try to get super practical today, because the reality is fasting is difficult. It's hard. In my very first fast, I was 16 years old. So I've been fasting for over 25 years now. 16 years old, I went to this conference. Now I knew nothing. So just a little preface about my story. I had grown up in the church, but had zero experience with the Holy Spirit, zero experience with anything of the spiritual realm. My faith was growing up like you pray a prayer, you go to heaven when you die, you float in your cloud, happy joy. But I didn't know there was so much more about a relationship with Jesus and the power of hearing his voice and the power of connecting with his presence. So I went to this conference at 16, and they're like, all these young people there, and they're like thousands, and they're like, okay, you guys are going to fast for 3 days. And at the time, I was like, I don't know what that even means, but okay, I'll give it a try. And so I remember day one of the fast, I think by the time we got to the end, I was dying. And so the next day, we went to the second day of the conference, and I'm like, what can we do? Like, there's got to be a way around this. Like, what are the cheats? Like, somebody's got to know. You ever play a video game, and you're like, what are the cheat codes? Like, I was like, how do you do this? And somebody knew their way around the church, and they found this kitchen closet that had these little beef and chicken cubes, broth cubes. All right, help me out here. How do you, is it? Bouillon. So the L is silent. Is that right? It's not bully, is it bouillon or bouillon? Bouillon. Okay, I'm very confused by these French words. Anyway, we found these and we got some hot water and I'm drinking the chicken broth and I'm like, oh, this is good, this helps. But I made it through 3 days. But what was interesting is it wasn't, see, I've told you guys a lot of the other spiritual side of the story and I'll share that too, but there was something profound about the fact that I was fasting, because what happened was we're at a conference, right? We're up early in the morning. We're going to bed late. Our bodies are getting tired because we're not getting enough sleep and we're just so energized by everything that's going on. But then the fasting actually began to weaken us as well. And I want to come back to this idea, but there's something about how fasting can weaken you. And it pulls your strength out of just what your body can do and what your mind can do. And it pulls you into a different place. So my encounters with the Lord happened because my openness to him was so much greater because I wasn't in my normal state of self-sufficiency. And so it was at this conference where I heard the Lord's voice in a powerful way, where he gave me my lifelong call, where I heard his voice like lightning, like just so profoundly met with his spirit. I cried, you know, until I thought my ribs were going to crack, and I danced until I sprained both ankles, and he healed them, and I kept going. It was one of those wild, crazy times where the Lord just met me, but he met me in the context of me voluntarily saying, I'm going to take what normally sustains me, and I'm going to put that on the shelf. And I'm going to try to experience what it's like to be sustained by something else. That's what fasting really ultimately is about. Is it saying the normal things that I use to bring me joy or satisfaction or sustain me or energy or life, our normal sources, listen, we have so many sources that we run after and that we run to, and there are places of comfort. But fasting says, I'm going to take all of that off the shelf, and I'm going to put that all to the side, and I'm going to say, Lord, you're the source. Your presence, your immediacy, your nearness. And it's not just you out there somewhere, and I hope you can manage my problems, but I want to get you right here, right in front of me. I've heard a lot of people say that bad things happen when you're tired, right? You ever hear anybody say, like, nothing good happens after midnight? And I think to an extent that can be true. But like I said, there's something about us saying, I'm going to let myself become weak. Because when you're weak, listen, this is maybe me being a little over dramatic, but when I'm fasting and I'm in that place of like not having any food, and I can feel like death is just on the other side of the door. And I'm like, oh, it's right there. I can just feel like my body shutting down. But in that place, I go, no, there is a source that's so much greater. I want to go make a sandwich. I want to have a banana. I want cheese. I'm a cheese guy. But man, the Lord, his presence, he's right here, and I can go after him, and I can encounter him, and I begin to open up my spirit to him, and that in that place of weakness, I don't run to something else to make me strong, but I actually begin to see the stirrings of his voice and his presence filling up my life. You know, when you blow out a candle, the smoke kind of rises. I almost feel like it's that. I blow out the candle of my eating or whatever it is I might be fasting from, and the smoke of his presence begins to fill my life. And it begins to expand. And I begin to hear him more clearly. And he begins to order my steps. Fasting is the perfect posture for encounters with the Lord. So I want to go over five things that I think fasting does. I'm not normally a lists guy, just preface. But I felt like the Lord really kind of downloaded five things that fasting does inside of us. The first is it empties us. Not just of food, but it empties us of all of the distracting appetites that we have. Like I've been saying, we don't keep running to those other sources, but we begin to replace those sources with him. Fasting empties our need to rely on other things for comfort or support. The crutches. I don't know about you guys, but it's so easy sometimes to be like, I'm really tired, I'm really distracted, to run to the phone, to run to whatever it is that might be the distraction that brings you just 30 seconds of comfort. Here's the interesting thing. It's such a false comfort. It doesn't actually make you feel any better. You ever notice that? You ever notice you look up and you're like, I just spent an hour doing something to relax, and I don't feel any more relaxed. It was just a distraction, and when I'm done, the stress is right back there. And so in that place of emptying, what we're actually saying is, I want real comfort. I really want to be filled with something, but before I can be filled with something, I have to empty myself of the false things. Second thing it does is it positions us. It positions us into a better posture with the Lord, because the posture becomes one of relying on him. The posture becomes one of our eyes on him, our focus on him, and it actually increases our hunger. King David said in Psalms 35:13, he says, I humbled myself with fasting. So when we get to this place where we're not seeing God accurately, we're not seeing ourselves accurately, we can humble ourselves with fasting. We can begin to get a more accurate perception of who we are and who he is by repositioning ourselves. The third thing it does is it transforms us. We can be transformed in the place of fasting. It tunes our heart and our character to Jesus. Now, not eating doesn't automatically do this. I'm going to dig a little bit more into kind of the process of how we pursue his presence in fasting. But we have an opportunity through fasting to be transformed. I'm going to show my geek side here, which you guys hear every once in a while. Once in a while being every week. But does anybody know much about defragging a hard drive? You know what I'm talking about? When you have a computer and it starts running slowly, some of you guys are like, I don't know what you just spoke gibberish. No, you defrag your hard drive, because here's what happens. The hard drive stores all of the memory, all of the data in your computer. And instead of just storing it naturally in kind of clumps, what it does is it spreads, everything gets spread out. So like you might have a file for, you know, a Word document or for some piece of your memory on the computer, but it's spread out in all these different little locations. And what ends up happening is the free space on your hard drive is also scattered all over the place. So when you defrag it, your computer goes, okay, these pieces of information are related, so I'm going to put them together. And these pieces are related, so I'm going to put them together. And it begins to organize and order the storage on your hard drive so that things run faster, so that all of the free space is in the same place. And that space is used to store information. It's also used to run your computer faster. I'm sorry for all the geek talk. But this happens when we fast. When we fast, listen, sometimes our minds, the way that we think, can get so scattered. And we've got pieces of what we believe about the Lord here and there, and pieces of what we believe about ourselves and what the identity that he's spoken over us. But it's not really condensed. It doesn't actually make sense, because it's not cohesive. Because in between, we've got false beliefs. And in between, we've got lies that the enemy is just slowly just ingrained in there over time, or things that we've just chosen to start believing about ourselves. And what the Lord does when we fast is he actually will start to remove those things and free up more space in your mind and in your spirit to encounter him. He reorganizes things when we allow him to. The fourth thing that fasting does is it puts us in a place of having encounters with the Lord. It helps us to meet with him. It's a place of meeting. When I'm fasting, I've had some of the most wild, incredible encounters with his heart that have been moments where everything that I'm about to go through over the next year doesn't really mean a thing, because he has filled me with so much of himself. I'm prepared, I'm steady, I'm ready. And I love how he does that in the place of meeting, in the place of connecting with his heart. The last thing it does is it fills us with him. So not just meeting with him, but we get filled with him and with his power. Jesus walked out with the power of the Spirit. And fasting is a place where we can actually be empowered by him. Here's the thing about fasting. I want to dig more into some of the just specifics of how we do this. A guy I love, Lou Engel, says, I have failed more fasts than you've started, when he's teaching people. He says, I've failed more fasts than you've started. And what the implication there is I think sometimes we're so afraid to start a fast because I want to do this well, right? And I think we want to be more all or nothing than often we actually are, but we don't start a fast often because we're just so concerned I'm not going to be able to finish it. And the reality is we put such high pressure on it. If I'm going to fast for a day or fast for 3 days or whatever it is, I better do it perfect. I better finish the whole thing. And we put such high pressure on ourselves that we don't start because we don't want to fail. And I think the reality is we have to look at it as the Lord's not sitting there going, oh, you had a bag of chips. You've totally failed me. You are now in the place of judgment for the, you know. And I think sometimes we think that, and so we don't want to try. Here's the thing. Fasting isn't a command of the Lord. It's actually an act of, it's not an act of obedience. It's an act of surrender. Does that make sense? It's not like God has said, thou art to fast every week or every once a week or whatever. No, this is our voluntary act. We get to go, God, I want to choose to go without something because I want to receive more from you. It's an act of surrender. It's an act of love. It's an act that says, I don't want my heart to be so in love with all this other stuff. I want it to be engaged with you. And so he looks at the attempt, even when we fail, and he's like, oh, I love that. Because I see that you want to be with me. I want to be with you too. He will honor, listen, he has honored fasts. John Wesley actually only fasted from breakfast to late afternoon once a week. How many of you think we could do that, right? And the power of the Lord flowed in that. It's not about comparing our fast with someone else's. It's not like the Lord goes, well, Lou fasted for 40 days. You only did a 3-day or a 7. Like, I think Lou loves me a lot more, so I'm going to just give him, you know. This is a personal connection with the Lord. It's a personal thing and what we're called to. Now, so far, I haven't been called to a 40-day fast. If I was, I would have to really rely on the Lord in a way I've never had to do before. And that would probably be a very good thing. But that's not something I'm just going to dive into without him going, hey, this is what I'm calling you to. Because that's a lot. But to go into a day fast or a 3-day fast or a 7-day fast, I've had some incredible breakthroughs from that. Of course, the hardest thing is when you fast, your wife cooks your favorite meal. Your friend says, let me buy you lunch. You get an email that says, free burger from Wendy's, today only. That's just what happens. And again, part of it is understanding where we need to hold fast and where the enemy is really just trying to tempt us out of our attempt at vulnerability, but also where we need to just walk in grace. I had a fast a couple months ago, and my dad messaged me and said, hey, do you want to grab breakfast? And it had been a while since we connected, and so I said, yeah. And I went, and I had an omelet, and then I went back, and then I continued my fast. This isn't about the legalistic letter of the law, but this is about maintaining a heart posture of fasting. Here's the thing. Fasting is so much more to do with what's happening in your heart than it does with not eating. That's why there are many actually kinds of fasts. You can fast from food and only have water. You can do a juice fast. Typically when I fast, I do a liquids fast. So I will have coffee, I will have water, I will have juice. I don't usually have a smoothie, but I might. But when I fast, I try to, especially because I typically do longer fast. I typically do a 7-day. And so I try to have something, some kind of energy going into my body, especially with 4 kids. I need to be able to kind of maintain my ability to do something and not leave it all on my wife. But you can fast. Some people can't fast food. Some people have such a strict medical diet guideline that they're not able to do that. You can fast from social media. You can fast from screens, period, movies, TV shows. You can fast from secular music and just do worship and just do edifying things. When I fast, I usually do a combination of those things. I do no secular music or movies. I really am engaged in worship, and I put on videos of sermons. And one of the things that I actually really like to do is put on videos from a conference. So I subscribe to different churches and different groups where you can actually see the whole conference. And what I love about that is the whole point of a conference is for people to be touched by God. You don't go to a conference to like sit in the pew and go whatever. So usually there's a lot more movement of the Holy Spirit in those things. And so I get to just absorb that. So I'll put those on and then pause it and connect with him and go where he's going. But I think it's so important that we recognize there's so many different ways to fast. It's not just a one size fits all. And there's seasons where God might say, hey, this would really benefit you to do a food fast. And there's seasons where it might be, you know what? I'm recognizing my reliance on social media and I'm leaning on that and I need to fast from that. There's seasons where we can engage in different ways. One of the things that I think we also get tripped up on is the don't tell anyone that you're fasting. Anybody ever struggle with that whole thing? Because it can be so easy to get caught up in what Jesus was saying, because he's saying, hey, the Pharisees go out and they show their pained faces and they're on the street corner. It's like pretty obvious that they're fasting. And he says, when you fast, go and do it in secret. What we've interpreted that to mean is if I tell anybody that I'm fasting, I have failed my fast. And that's not the case. What Jesus is saying, he says about the Pharisees, they've received their reward. They've received their reward because their reward is not, they're not looking for something spiritual in their fast. They're doing a legalistic practice that is completely separated from the presence of God. Their practice is, I'm fasting because it's a religious act that other people might respect me more for doing. And so it's all about the external reward. That's what Jesus is saying. So he's not saying, if you tell somebody you're fasting, it's ruined. No, what he's saying is, if you're looking for a reward from how people are looking at you from fasting, you will get that reward, but you won't get the spiritual one. But he's saying, if you want the spiritual reward, it's not about telling somebody or not telling somebody. It's about, what reward are you seeking? What is the reward you're seeking? And so when I'm fasting, there's times where it's, I don't announce it, I don't post it on social media, but I also don't hide it. If someone goes like, hey, do you want to grab food? I'm actually during a fast right now. You know, I'd rather they know than me go, nah, I don't want to connect, or, you know, or come up with some kind of weird lie. Like, I just would rather be straightforward and direct. I'm not seeking my reward or their approval. And so we can't get so stuck on that. Here's the last thing. Is I think that one of the things that ends up happening is, especially when you're married, if you're single and you're doing a fast, it's pretty easy. You can usually get through that pretty easy. If you're married and you just decide, hey, I'm going to do a fast, and you don't communicate that well, that can cause some problems. I can tell you from experience. If you're going to do a fast and you're married, or honestly, even if you're in a community with people, like living in a rental with other people, it's really good to let people know and set some expectations and some boundaries. When I fast, again, like I said, we have four kids, so I don't just go like, all right, I'm leaving for 7 days, or I'm going to just be hiding out in the bedroom and leave you to do everything. We have a conversation, and it's, hey, so I'd like to sit with everybody for meals, but I'm probably not going to eat. We're going to explain to the kids what I'm doing so they don't wonder, and they can know that this is a practice that we have. I'm going to try to help relationally connect. And I kind of set out the day, and it's not just me saying, this is how it's going to be, wife, but we have a back and forth of her getting to express her needs. Like, hey, we have this coming up. Is there any way you can do X or do Y? And so we have a back and forth conversation to set expectations. And one of the things I do is I usually say, I'd really like to just have my intensive prayer time from 8 to 12. And then after that, I may dip out here and there where there's moments, but I'll connect with the family and I'll be around and I'll be available. Because the point of fasting is also not to just exclusively, you can withdraw. Sometimes it's good to go, like, there's a place called Praise Mountain. Has anybody heard of that? You can go to Praise Mountain. It's actually free. You do it by donation, and you can go stay in a cabin. Food's actually not allowed. You bring water, and you just go fast there. And it's a wonderful opportunity to get completely away from everything. But even there, it's not like I'm going to read my Bible for 12 straight hours. Part of fasting is actually rest. Sometimes part of a good fast is taking a nap. Sometimes part of a good fast is diving in deep with the Lord and then falling asleep in his presence. Letting your mind take a break. If you overly focus on what I'm trying to get out of the fast, we begin wrestling with God, and we begin saying, like, you know, it can come to a point where it's not, I'm trying to force him to do something instead of trying to get to know him. Organic relationships have moments of deep, profound conversation, but they also have moments of just being next to each other. And both are good. One of the most powerful sections about fasting is Isaiah 58, where God is talking to Israel, and he says something very interesting. He's saying, these are the words that are coming from Israel. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you take no notice? And then God says, in fact, the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all of your laborers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? I want to pause there. There's two things happening here that I think are very interesting. One, the Lord is saying, the fast that he's called is not a fast against something. He says, you fast for strife and debate. You fast for a fight, okay? And I think sometimes we fast because, oh, we want to beat the devil, and we can turn it into this negative thing where I'm fasting to stop the even unhealth or whatever it might be. Fasting is not against something. What the Lord is saying is you fast for something. You fast for his presence, for his goodness, for his breakthrough. You don't fast against the devil. And I think that's a really important point. But the other thing is the fruit of a successful fast is the breakthrough of his kingdom in the world around you. The fruit of a successful fast is life being poured out to those who are poor and impoverished, to those who need the power of the Spirit, because now you're carrying the power of the Spirit. The fruit of a successful fast is the transformation that God has placed inside of you manifests outwardly in the world around you. And so I want to share the last couple of things I do when I fast. I think when you fast, it's got to be a time of prayer. Without prayer and connection with the Lord and his word and in worship, it's just a hunger strike. A hunger strike says, I'm going to just not eat until you do what I want you to do. It's what the Pharisees were doing. A real fast says, Lord, I want your presence. I want your nature. So what I do when I fast is everything that I do is designed for one purpose, to connect me with his heart in that moment. I want to meet Jesus, and I want to meet him as often and as deeply as I can. And so when I'm reading scripture, I will read through chapters, and sometimes I'll have a plan, and sometimes it'll be sporadic and random, and I'll just go wherever. But as I'm reading, I'm not reading to help my intellect. I'm not reading to grow my understanding and knowledge of the Bible. There are times that I do that. But when I'm fasting and I'm seeking his presence, I read until something hits in my spirit, something clicks, something shifts, something just strikes me. And then I instantly will pause and pull back and go to the Lord with that. And I'll go, God, let's walk through this. Can you explain more of this? I have questions about this. I want to hear your heart on this. Or to a place of worship. God, this is so good. You're so wonderful. And I use it as a launching pad to engage with his presence. It's the same with worship. The point of when I put on worship and I'm alone in my office because I can just do whatever I want in there. And I'm not worried about anybody watching. I'm just know I'm before the Lord. And when I do that, the point of worship is not to finish singing the whole worship song. The point is to engage with his heart and his presence. So when I hit a point where that begins to happen, I draw away into that. Sometimes I worship with words, and sometimes I have instrumental worship where I'm just in that place of prayer. I also journal a lot. I will write down what he's saying, because here's what happens when I do these fasts. At the beginning of every year, I do a seven-day fast. 7 year. 7 day fast is what I do at the beginning of every year. Now, I'll be completely transparent. There's times that God has actually told me to stop my fast early. There's times I've gotten to day 3 or 4 and God says, you're done. I gave you what I'm going to give you in this. You need to go be with your family, or you need to go do this. And I listen to his heart when he says that. I'm not, again, if I got religious about the number of days, I'm missing the point. But in that time, I'm engaging with him in a profound and powerful way. I'm pursuing his heart. And what I'm really looking for is first of all, I'm looking for whatever he wants to download. But I also come with my own agenda, in the sense of, Lord, I have a question. My question is, what do you want to do this year? My question is, what do you want to do? Where do you want me to grow? What do you want me to focus on? What do you want me to put before you? Because I want to put you before me, but I also want to know, what are you looking at this year? What's your focus? And every time that I have fasted and done this thing at the beginning of the year, he's given me a word or a phrase, and he says, this is your theme for the year. This is what I want you to remember, and I want you to focus on. And so what happens is I'll take that word, and I'll write it down, and I'll put it in a place where I can see it easily. I'll put it either, on a whiteboard in my office, or I'll put it up on a mirror. And as I go throughout the year, things happen, amazing things where breakthroughs happening and life changes happening all around, and hard things when it feels like everything's falling apart and things are really difficult. And in any of those places, I go back to that word and I ask the Lord, how does this apply to where I'm at right now? Because I know you have a word and you have a promise for this year. And when I'm not seeing that promise being manifest, I can draw myself back to him in that place. And I can say, Lord, you told me something about this. And I can tell you, it's never failed to do two things. One, it has helped me to defeat almost every attack the enemy has had against me. It has helped me to be able to go, no matter how loud the voice of the accuser is, I know his promise, I know his goodness. And the second thing is it's allowed me to do is to keep my eyes open for the revelation, the fulfillment. And throughout the whole year, I'm looking with expectation and hope. Listen, this is not the only thing I'm looking at. The Lord gives words, and I'm connecting with him all throughout the year. But what it does is it allows me to go, I know the Lord has said something unique is going to happen in this season. And I get to hold on to that, and I get to steward that with him. And that's allowed me to overcome so much. My wife and I, our family, have been able to walk through and go, we know the word of the Lord this year. And sometimes my wife might get a totally different word when she is listening to his heart. It's not a mutually exclusive, it's a both and. So I want to invite you guys into this practice with me. You don't have to do it my way. I want you to ask the Lord as we go into 2024. Listen, has anybody had a rough 2023? Somewhat. This has been a weird, unpredictable year for us. And yet, there's so much breakthrough and so much goodness in life that's come from it. And so much of that has been because we know in advance the promises of the Lord, and he's prepared us for what is coming. So as we go into 2024, I want to invite you guys into this. If you feel the Lord calling you to do a fast, and it might be just a media fast, it might be, you know, you can kind of take your variation of it. But as you seek his heart, my encouragement to you is to say, Lord, what is it that you want to do in here? Let him have his way. Allow yourself to become weak. Let him come in and investigate my life, is what I say. Investigate my soul. Investigate my spirit. Let me know any wrong ways in me, right? This is in the Psalms. And I let him come in, and I really want his agenda. When I say I come in with an agenda, I don't mean that I'm trying to control the Lord's plan for that time period. But I do come with questions. I have something I am seeking after. But if the Lord said, I'm not going to give you a word this year, I just want you to be in my presence, I'd be like, great, that's good enough. That's all I need. That's all I want. He's got the full plan. And that's the point of fasting. The point of fasting is to say, what normally rules me will not rule me anymore. And it's so easy for it to just build up over time, and we begin to let things have greater and greater control and influence over our life. Here's the last thing I want to say about this before we have a little ministry time is the Lord was showing me this morning that we've often looked at the flesh as if it was something that needed to be completely and utterly killed. But something interesting that Paul said is he said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You would think that if the flesh was the evil part that needed to be completely cut off and destroyed, that he would say the flesh is strong, right? Because the flesh is strong and pulling us against the spirit. But he says the flesh is weak. Here's the thing. When you're redeemed, it's not just a little piece of you that's redeemed. When you're a new creation, it's not just a little piece. You're a whole new creation. Every single part. When we strengthen our flesh in the Lord, it's under the direction of his spirit. My whole self. So instead of it being like there's always this war within me and there's the evil me that's just always alive. No, like that's actually cut off and dead and gone. And when the flesh is weak, it wants to listen to that voice. When the flesh is weak, it wants to go back to living like the old self. But when you actually strengthen yourself in the Lord, your whole self goes, I want nothing but him. And fasting is one of the ways that we actually strengthen our flesh in the Lord. Is this okay? I'm not saying, there's different ways that the word flesh is used in the Bible, so I'm not saying that flesh is always good. But I'm trying to say that there's the flesh that refers to the old nature, but then there's the flesh like your body, yourself, and there's not a part of you, if you're redeemed in the Lord and you're healed and forgiven by him, it's not like there's an evil part of you that just lives to tear you down and pull you back. It's actually external to you. It's the old nature, and the old nature can come calling through the voice of the accuser. The old nature can try to draw you back into old ways of living. But you are wholly his. You're wholly redeemed. Jesus didn't do a partial work. But the key is not allowing your mind, your body, to continue to be tied to those old ways of thinking. And in fasting, we can weaken that connection and cut that off and begin to rebuild and strengthen our connection with his Spirit and being led by him. So, again, here's the invitation to this. Now, I actually just put together a little guide, a little packet that just walks through a lot of this stuff. If you'd like a copy of it, anybody who's already on our email list, I'm just going to send that out in the next couple of days. And hopefully it's just a reminder and just a hopeful tool and resource for you to be able to do this if you feel the Lord calling you to. If you're not on our email list or we have people watching online, just shoot us a message in any of the ways that you're watching it. Or if you're here, we have cards in the back. We'd love to get your information and we'd be happy to send this out to you. But we want to invite the Lord for just a couple minutes now to move and to just minister how he wants to minister. So we're actually just going to put on some worship music. If you'd like prayer for anything, I want to invite you to come up. We're going to have a little prayer time here at the front. If you want to just hang and engage with the Lord, please do. If you feel like you need to leave, that's great. Hang out and talk if you need to. But I want to take a couple minutes, and what I want to ask is, if you need prayer for a breakthrough, we're going to pray for that. And if you don't know the Lord, if what I'm talking about sounds interesting, but you haven't connected with him before, and you don't know what it's like to know Jesus, we would also love to have you come up and connect with us, and we can pray for you and talk through that. So let's go ahead and put that on. Father, we just welcome your Spirit into the room. We welcome you to move the way that you move. Jesus, we just thank you for 2024. We thank you for your words that are on it. God, we thank you that you're bigger than elections. You're bigger than sickness. You're bigger than any of the fears or worries and concerns that people are talking so loudly about. God, we know and believe that the invasion of your kingdom of heaven on earth is taking place even now. And no matter what we see in the news, that you are winning. So God, we just ask that you would manifest yourself in a powerful way in our lives and in our city. God, we pray right now, we just pray for everybody that's sick today. We pray for Karen and Scott. We pray for Catherine. We pray for Kimberly, God. We just release your healing power over them, God. Anyone else that is just not feeling well, Father, we just ask right now that their bodies would become back into alignment with your perfect healing, God, that they would be restored and renewed. God, I pray for a release of your energy and your life flowing through them right now, God, even as we pray. And God, we thank you for the way you move and the way you heal us.